Welcome, friends, to February 22nd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Today is Washington's birthday. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. In fact, I'm just going to roll right into it. Let's get started.
1732. Happy birthday, George, the sage of Mount Vernon, Washington, number one. Technically, he was born on February 11, 1731, according to the Julian calendar, which at the time was being used by the North American English colonies. But when the Gregorian calendar was adopted by the colonies in 1752, George acknowledged this date as his actual birthday. His father, Augustine, was an ambitious landowner and farmer and had two children with his first wife, Jane Butler. Jane died in 1729, and 2 years later, Augustine married Mary Ball. They had six children together, George being the eldest. George and his mother never saw eye to eye. She was against the American Revolution, she didn't want George to be in the army, and she wasn't impressed by the fact that he would become America's first president. Not a lot of recorded information is available about young George, but considering his family's wealth, he probably had tutors growing up. The story of George Washington chopping down his father's prized cherry tree and not lying about doing it was most likely a myth created by author Parson Weems. Augustine died when George was only 11, and a young George had a big load to carry for his family. He was partly raised by his mentor and half-brother, Lawrence, who inherited the family home at Little Hunting Creek Plantation, now called Mount Vernon. George became a professional surveyor by age 16, and he spent the next 2 years surveying lands in the Shenandoah Valley. Lawrence was struck with tuberculosis and died when George was 20 years old. As a result, George inherited Mount Vernon, at the time one of the largest and most prominent estates in Virginia. Commissioned as a lieutenant colonel in 1754, even though he had no prior military experience, Washington fought in skirmishes that boiled over to what would become the French and Indian Wars. Now a colonel, he joined British General Edward Braddock's army in Virginia to fight the French on a three-pronged attack, but were ambushed. Braddock was mortally wounded, and Washington escaped under heavy gunfire, receiving 4 bullets in his uniform and 2 horses shot out from underneath him. Though he lost the battle, George realized that the British traditional method of fighting wars wouldn't work against the French or Indians who hid behind trees and large rocks. After the war in 1759, George retired to Mount Vernon and enjoyed his happy life farming. Even though he was morally against the institution of slavery, it was the law of the land and he had 300 slaves, all who were freed when George died. He was elected to the House of Burgesses in Virginia, where he served until 1774. He married Martha Dandridge Custis in January 1759. She was a very wealthy widow with 2 children, John and Patsy. Washington was a terrific stepfather to these young children and enjoyed his life on the farm until the Revolution. Standing with his fellow planters, George became vocally opposed to British taxation and regulation with the Stamp Act, and more so with the Townshend Act, and was selected as a delegate to the First Continental Congress in March 1775. The American Revolution began in earnest after the battles of Lexington and Concord, and Washington showed up in a military uniform to the Second Continental Congress in Philly, May 1775, ready to take on the British, and was elected Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. Though he had no training or real experience maneuvering large formations of infantry, commanding artillery or cavalry, or ensuring a flow of supplies to thousands of soldiers, Washington was prepared to take on the world's mightiest army. His strategy was to harass the British, stating, quote, "We should on all occasions avoid a general action or put anything to the risk unless compelled by a necessity into which we ought never to be drawn," unquote. In March 1776, Washington had a small but proud victory in Boston, but was soundly defeated in August when the Crown had deployed their largest expeditionary force ever to New York City, led by General William Howe. Washington retaliated in New Jersey at Princeton and Trenton, but in the summer of 1777 lost Philadelphia. But late in the summer, the Redcoats dispatched John Burgoyne to Saratoga, New York, and ran smack into the American armies led by Horatio Gates and Benedict Arnold, forcing the British to surrender over 6,000 troops. Despite this American victory, things were getting gloomy for General Washington at Valley Forge in Pennsylvania during the winter of 1776. Congress was cashed out, his troops were starving, and thousands were dying of smallpox. Despite this, Washington was able to motivate his troops by having them watch Rocky movies. Okay, just making sure you're paying attention. Sir Henry Clinton replaced General Howe, who faced Washington's reinvigorated army through Washington's strategy of quick blows to the British rear guard, and the British were forced to evacuate Philadelphia. This small American victory led France to join the American effort against their nemesis. They dispatched a large army and navy. Washington focused his forces not on Clinton in New York, but rather on British General Charles Cornwallis at Yorktown in Virginia. Between Washington and his French counterparts, at land and at sea, Cornwallis found himself completely surrounded and was forced to call it quitsies on October 19, 1781, thus ending the Revolutionary War. Washington returned to his family at Mount Vernon and enjoyed another 4 years of planting on his farm. But the new United States were not working well under its Articles of Confederation, and George was asked to attend the Constitutional Convention at Philadelphia in 1787. The new Constitution was ratified, and Washington was unanimously elected the nation's first president by the Electoral College. With 11 states and a country of 4 million people, Washington realized that his presidential actions would determine the actions of future presidents, and therefore took the integrity of the office very seriously. For example, he wanted to be called Mr. President instead of any king or monarch titles. Also, he initially declined his $2,600 salary. He appointed Thomas Jefferson as Secretary of State, who domestically favored states' rights, and Alexander Hamilton as Secretary of Treasury, who favored a strong central government. In foreign affairs, Washington urged the nation to remain neutral when war broke out between France and Great Britain. Meanwhile, back at the White House, there was no White House, so Washington lived in New York and Philadelphia. However, he did survey the land that would become Washington, D.C. His false teeth were not wooden. They were made out of whale bone, rhinoceros ivory, and deer antlers. He did not wear a wig. He wore his hair pulled back. He never skipped a silver dollar across the Potomac River, as legend has it, although, allegedly, he did once throw a rock 215 feet high over the natural bridge in the Blue Ridge Mountains. He loved cream of peanut soup, dancing, and horses, and was around 6 foot tall and weighed about 220 pounds. He also remains America's only president who did not side with a political party, again showing brave leadership over his split cabinet, as he did during the Revolution. Though domestic policies, as well as foreign policies, were divided between Hamilton, who was pro-British, and Jefferson, who was pro-French, Washington remained neutral in the war between the two countries. Yet he saw the headaches of partisanship looming. By the end of his second term, Washington had had enough of politics and declined a third term. In his farewell address, which by the way is read every year on this day in the U.S. Senate in honor of his birthday, he urged his fellow Americans to avoid excessive party spirit and geographic differences. In foreign affairs, he warned against long-term alliances. 3 years after returning to his final retirement at Mount Vernon, George Washington developed a throat infection and died on December 14, 1799, age 67. Quote, "Few men have virtue enough to withstand the highest bidder," he once said. I guess he would be one of those few men. He also said on July 28, 1795, "The Constitution is the guide which I never will abandon." Good stuff. Happy birthday, George.
And that is, my friends, your George Washington recap on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Be sure to check out tomorrow's program. We'll talk about CETO, President Lincoln, the song This Land Is Your Land, and basketball news. So until then, be sure to check out the website at joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Leave a comment on the comment board. And by the way, folks, on my website, you can also listen to whatever day you want. We don't have to be just stuck with February. It's your call. So thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. And we'll see you tomorrow.
That's right. Why? Stop, dude. I said stop.